Okay, so we've been considering uncomfortable night sleeps and considering which bed you might choose, whether out of the options here or whether you can afford some of those crazy cribs. But I wonder if you had the ability to afford whatever you liked. You know, they have lots of competitions on at the minute, don't they, on the radio. Win £70,000, win £100,000. I wonder if sometimes your brain goes and you think, oh, if I won that, oh, what would I do? But if, for you, no money, boys, can you listen? Because it's really distracting for everyone else. I wonder if money was no object to you, what changes you would make to your life. Whether you would change your bed, get something a bit nicer. Whether you would change where you live, there'd be things that you'd probably change. Some of us think, well, you know, money wouldn't affect me. But actually, it probably would affect us all to some degree. How does this fit into the Christmas story? Well, the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is the Son of God and that God is in control of all things. So that means God chose when to come into the world. He chose where to come into the world. The Bible even tells us that before he was born, God revealed to the prophets where he was going to be born, when he was going to be born. So Jesus, the most blessed of all time, could choose wherever he liked to be born. And he chose, God chose to be born in an animal room, in a manger. A food trough, presumably filled with hay. And for the most important person in history, this seems rather strange, doesn't it? Yeah. When royal babies are born, they're not placed in mangers. They are placed in, you know, the hospital that they go to. It's very grand, isn't it? So this morning, we're going to look at this and we're going to consider, what does it mean that Jesus was born in a manger? And we're going to look very briefly at seven verses from Luke, which just tells us about Jesus' birth. And it says this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his hometown. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth in Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to just take a couple of minutes just to look at what these verses mean. What does Jesus' birth in a manger mean? And the first thing, and particularly in this passage, you have this comparison of the ruler of the time, Caesar, and then Jesus. And they're deliberately placed, Luke has deliberately placed it. You see Caesar, and then you see Jesus, and you see the comparisons. Caesar himself considered himself a god. Some of the writings of that time spoke of him as a god who had provided great things for the world. He was able, from the comfort of his palace, to demand that everyone be registered. Why? Well, it was probably because he wanted to check he was getting enough tax. So he wrote this decree, and everyone had to move to their hometown. Everyone had to travel while he sat at home and did what Caesar does. Whilst away from home, well, we find that Mary and Joseph are those who have to go. They have to go to Bethlehem in obedience to Caesar's decree. And whilst away from home, Mary gives birth to a promised son. The one who truly was the Son of God, and yet he is not found in a palace in Rome. He's found in an animal room attached to a house. He's not found amongst the rich. He's found amongst the poor. Jesus was not going to be like Caesar. I think many of us have found some of our leaders very frustrating in these days, worldly leaders. Jesus was not going to be like worldly leaders. He was not going to be like Caesar or any other ruler. Matthew 20:28 says, "The Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus, the eternal Son of God, humbled himself and became like us. He became like us to save us, and he would do that through his death on the cross. The second thing we find in these verses is that Jesus would be rejected. These verses finish with those familiar words that we're very familiar with from child's nativity. We have an innkeeper. We are, you know, there's no room. There's always that question, isn't there? No, there's no room. There's no room for them in the inn. But in reality, this was not like, you know, the travel lodge or whatever. It's best understood to be the guest room of the house. Mary and Joseph would have gone to family in Bethlehem. But there was no room. There was no room in the guest room. And being a different society from ours, they had space in their house for the animals. They were brought in and they had a room in their house that was for the animals. And that's where Jesus ended up. He was in the room with the animals. And we're quite familiar with the very nice looking nativity scenes. But animals stink, don't they? Animals don't smell very nice. This was not somewhere very wonderful and nice. This was not the nicest place to be born. And we see from this that Jesus was going to be pushed to the peripheries of life. He was going to be crowded out. This wouldn't be the last time this is the case. Even in the Christmas story, we find that Jesus, Mary and Joseph have to flee to Egypt. Not welcome. They have to flee. And although many crowds will welcome Jesus in his lifetime, there would be many who would reject him. And ultimately, he'd be rejected by his hometown, and he would die alone as a criminal, rejected by many. Even his disciples would leave him in his hour of need. The third thing that we pick up from this is that God's ways are different from ours. The sign given to the shepherds, a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, seem totally weird when you think this is the saviour of the world. We often think in terms of things, big events. You know, if we plan this, surely, well, let's have the saviour born in Rome. Let's have him at the centre of attention. Maybe a trumpet fanfare in the streets, celebrations. If it was up to us, Jesus would take centre stage, like he does in the nativity scene, sort of everyone surrounded by him. But actually, God's ways are different. The poor shepherds are the first to visit. Not the rich, not the important, the shepherds who are out looking after sheep. And then that's followed by foreigners. Foreigners who come and travel to meet Jesus. They travel from faraway lands. Actually, in his people, he was the promised one. And actually, those who come are the poor, and those who come are those who are far away. And this is a sign that Jesus was good news for everybody. But God's plans are different from ours. This is shown in Jesus' birth. It is shown throughout his life. It is shown in his death. Jesus was not the saviour the world was expecting. Even the Jews who had the scriptures, even though they couldn't quite see that this was the saviour of the world. And many today, you know, Christmas is a great time, isn't it? We all enjoy it. But many just miss the fact that this is about Jesus. Because he's not the saviour that they were expecting. But he is the saviour of the world. Amen. The child born in obscurity among smelly animals, laid in a manger, is the hope of the world. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because Jesus became like us. He became like us. He came to serve and to rescue us from our sins. That's why we celebrate it. Greg Laurie says this, and we'll finish with this. Jesus took his place in the manger so that we might have a home in heaven. Good news, isn't it? That's why he came. That's why he came in a manger. He came because he was coming to do something different than the world expected. And he did that through his life and his death and his resurrection.